Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the good life. Welcome to the good life.
The wait is over.
Welcome to the good life.
And after all this talk, all I gotta say is...
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode number 15 of the Good Life Radio Show. Today's Wednesday, the 25th day of January, the year 2012. The phone number, it doesn't change, 323-927-2966. As always, I'm your host, Mike Safosnick. We got a jam-packed radio show scheduled for today. It's a little earlier than usual. You'll find out the reason in a little while. Hopefully my ADD doesn't kick in, and I can get through the whole litany of stuff I want to talk about. Before I introduce today's co-host, let me break down for you what we're going to talk about today. Obviously, the New York Football Giants will be a huge topic, but I promise to all our listeners, a few people emailed me, tweeted me, Facebooked me, we're not going to do the typical what every other show in the world does and just do 2 weeks of Super Bowl stuff. We're not going to do that. We'll touch on the 49er game. We'll touch on the Ravens-Patriot game. We'll break down a little bit of the Super Bowl. You know, we're not going to go through every little aspect of it. We're going to be joined by one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. I'm going to explain why I'm truly upset with our Indianapolis correspondent Elwood. I'm really down on him. And real quick, before I even mention his name on the air, my co-host better step up and live to the Good Life Radio rules, which is full disclosure. I'm hoping he's going to tell you how he has this awesome dog, Armani. He's had this dog, well, we had this dog for years, and how he kind of doesn't want Armani anymore, and how he's really thinking about paying some local kid to drop the dog off in PetSmart. I really hope he doesn't do that. We're going to get into that. Hopefully he'll tell us why random people show up at his house at 4 o'clock in the morning to cook. And without further ado, co-hosting today's radio show, my road trip partner to Indianapolis, and he's given me full control of the radio. Any song I want, any station I want. He told me I can do whatever I want. It's basically my car. My best friend, here he is. What up, Jay Walker?
I don't think I selected that song to be played when I came on the radio, but how you doing?
you did. You know what? I was actually driving home today, and by accident, I hit off sports radio, and Hot 97, I guess it was a hot whatever at noon, and that song came on. I thought about you. It's just weird when a song makes me think of another man. What up, Jay Walker?
What's going on, brother?
Not too much. We actually have a good show for today. I want to thank you in advance for co-hosting with me. It's always a pleasure.
Because of our guest, I definitely wasn't missing this show.
Oh, is that how it works now? You pick the guest you're going to co-host with me for?
Well, most likely they're on because of me, so I will be there on their own.
You know what? Listen. You come over my house. You have too much to drink. You fall asleep. I take your phone, and I just select everyone's phone numbers. That's what I do.
That's really good. Then I spend the rest of the time apologizing because you harass people.
No, I don't harass people. Listen, before he calls the show, I don't even want to say who it is. I know most people – we actually have a lot of listeners. We have 141 people listening right now. Half of them already saw the link. They know who the guest is going to be. Some people just subscribe to the show and listen to it. But just tell them what happened the day of the snowstorm when you passed out and I started texting everybody about your birthday.
Yeah, so – Always hanging out at Snow's house, getting inebriated, having a good time. So I guess I pass out, and he had a lookout man. The other angry caller who calls all the time, LB, was lookout man while I was like using the restroom or something. So long story short, months later, I'm hanging out with Chris Candy from the New York Giants, and he's like, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to New Orleans for my birthday. You trying to roll? He's like, oh, yeah, one of your boys actually texted me about that. Then I told him I would let him know. He's like, I'm 50-50 right now. I'm like, one of my boys texted you about it. I'm like, nobody has your number. He's like, yeah, your buddy Mike. I'm like, I was so freaking embarrassed. It wasn't even funny.
All right, listen. The guest that we want to speak to, he's on hold. Justin, let me tell the audience real quick. So Justin and I have known each other for 20 years. We're best friends. I truly know everything about his life. He knows every aspect of my life. We've done everything together. Secrets, like, there's some shit that he knows that no one in the world knows. So today I text him. I said, listen, I need your address and the last four digits of his social security number. That's all I ask. Now listen, I'm not going to commit fraud on the man. I basically support him. I claim him on my income taxes. So I'm like, Just, I just need last four social, your address. He calls me up. He's like, why, guy, what scam are you doing? I'm like, listen. Because of my job, which I don't say what I do on the radio, you're listed as one of my beneficiaries, like the fifth one, and you're one of my in case of emergency phone numbers.
So basically, when something happens to you, I have to off the four people ahead of me to receive anything. That's how
I said it's my mom, my grandfather, my brother, my father. I know they're gonna end up missing, and so
Not so much Flo, but everybody else. Whoops.
First of all, my mom's listening, so be careful what you say about her. Justin was giving me his mom's maiden name, the hospital, the mom's social security number. Okay, listen. We have our guest on the phone. He doesn't need much of an introduction. I'll do a quick one. In 2009, he led the entire NFL with most completions, most passing yards, and most passing yards per game with 298. In 2010, he was third in completions, fourth in passing yards. Pro Bowl MVP, starting quarterback for the Houston Texans, and one of Justin's best friends, Matthew Schaub. What up, Matt? You're on the Good Life Radio with Snuff and Jay Walker. What's going on, Matt?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's going on? What's up, Hollywood?
Not much, man.
All right, listen, Matt, first of all, I apologize for the texting. I suffer from severe OCD. So when I make plans, since I was in eighth grade with Justin, he'll call me up. He'll be like, Snuff, I'll be at your house in 2 minutes. I still call him 30 times. Where are you? And he just plays on it. So I don't think I was stalking you, which I wasn't.
Justin, your boy there texted me in the last 5 minutes 10 times, hey, the show starts in 10 minutes, the show starts in 8 minutes, the show starts in 6 minutes. Call
yeah,
in 5
yeah,
minutes,
I
call 4. I'm like, Justin, tell him if I say I'm going to do something, I have it down, I'm going to do it.
I told him that 12 o'clock this afternoon when you guys talked about it originally, I'm like, he's good, he's a stand-up guy, don't worry about it, he's got you. He's just, he's anal.
All right, so you know the OCD. All right. Matt, listen, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you just a few questions. I texted you already. I think once or twice I texted you. But listen, first of all, how's the wife and the three girls?
They're all doing really good. They're all doing great.
Now, listen, I was supposed to come down in October, but I had to take a test for my job. So I actually got a gift for the kids, but of course Justin will take credit for it like he did last time. He makes me walk in the stadium with a green bag and a pink bag for the baby originally. The second we get to the suite, he grabs the gifts out of my hands like, oh, I brought gifts for everybody.
You know what? I'm not surprised.
Matt, how's the right foot? How's rehab going?
It's going really well. It's a slow process with the injury I had, but the first 6 weeks on crutches was really tough, not being able to put any weight on it. But the past 2.5 weeks, I've been walking around and rehabbing and just progressing each day, just doing a little bit more and just getting better and better. And so going to keep taking those little steps to getting better.
All right, now listen, I ask this to every athlete who called the show. We had a lot of them who called already. I like to hear everyone's answer for this. Unfortunately, we can never ask this to Justin. When was the moment that you realized that football wasn't just going to be a sport, that it was going to be like your livelihood and it was going to be a way to support your family? Was there like one moment when you're like, crap, this is my job for the rest of my life? Was there like that one shining moment?
You know, I don't know if there was just one moment because, when you play this game, you realize pretty quickly, you know, whether it's yourself or through people that are around you that this game can go away in a heartbeat. This game, you know, it doesn't wait on anybody. And at any given moment, you could be done playing, you know, whether it be in high school or in middle school, in college, or, you know, any day now, you know, while it is my profession, you know, it doesn't last forever. And, you know, I'll say, you know, probably I knew it was something that I was going to do past college once, you know, after my fourth year at Virginia, you know, I realized that it could be a avenue I go for a few years, and how long it would take me, I didn't know, but you just take it one day at a time and enjoy the moment that you're in, and you know, each year that you have, you just try and, you know, not take any of that for granted because it can go away so quickly.
No, Matt, I'm glad you brought Virginia.
Let me say one thing about that. I mean, obviously, this is my guy. We played football together. it was never a question of how hard he worked, and he knew that's what he wanted. I mean, as soon as we stepped in the building, you know, freshman year, he knew that's what he was, you know, that was his ultimate goal. And nobody on that team in the 4 years that we were there, I could say, worked harder than that man. So, you know, good things come when you work hard.
Yeah, Matt, let me say that. When I would go down to visit Justin, obviously you guys are roommates for a little bit. Whenever I would go down there, he'd pull me aside, and he'd be like, Snuff, you have to see how – he's talked about how good you are, and he never said this about anyone else. Like, he really says just the talent you have. But listen, I'm glad you brought up Virginia. You grew up in Pennsylvania. Why UVA? Why'd you choose Virginia?
Really, it was you know, I was fortunate leading up to my senior year of high school to go with my folks around to see different schools, get an idea of what I was interested in along the East Coast, all the ACC schools, a lot of Big East schools, and just see what was out there and what type of things I was looking for out of a college and from, you know, the football side of things as well. And, you know, when I went to Virginia, I just realized, you know, this is a really good fit for me. And when I was narrowing it down to my final decision, just a combination of the football, the ability to play earlier in my career rather than sitting behind a bunch of people, you know, was there. And to get a top-notch education, you know, those things go hand in hand when you're thinking about, you know, life after college. And, you know, it was a very easy decision for me when I came down to my last four. And, you know, as it turned out, it was a really good decision.
Obviously, obviously.
Not to mention, he met me on his visit, and that was the deal, you know, that was the deal for him.
That actually made me waver just a hair in my decision.
Listen,
who is this kid from Staten Island? I don't know about this guy.
Listen, now, before we even go any further, you want to tell everyone, we have right now 209 people listening. Do you want to tell everyone about your charity?
Well, yeah, my wife and I, we started, you know, we've been here now 5 years in Houston, and for the first, like, three and a half, we were just being a part of a lot of different organizations, trying to help out everywhere we could and get a good pulse of the city of Houston. And you know, it was probably 2 years ago when we started really talking about starting our own foundation. And it's called the Great Hope Foundation. It's GR, the number 8, Hope Foundation. And, you know, we have a website, greathopefoundation.com. But we're in the area of helping kids and children with medical needs. And, you know, that a lot goes into that. But, you know, when we had our oldest, Madison, 2 years ago, you know, just seeing her grow and develop, you know, it really struck chords with us that after going to so many visits to the hospitals to see kids and everything and visit with them and make their day a little brighter, you know, it just really hit us between the eyes that we wanted to help kids that were less fortunate, that, you know, needed help on the medical side of things. And so last year we started, really got it off the ground and had our first event, you know, gala and golf classic, and it really turned out great. We were able to donate $108,000 that we raised in our first event to Texas Children's Hospital to and what we did with that was to build a playroom for the kids at the hospital.
Matt, that's awesome, man. All right, listen, you were drafted by Atlanta. You knew you were going to be behind Michael Vick. What goes through your head when you get drafted, probably the best moment of your life, but knowing you're going to be behind Michael Vick, what are you thinking when that happens?
I thought I needed to get a little faster was the first thought. I was like, wow, we couldn't be two totally different quarterbacks than me and Mike. But that was my initial reaction. But I was like, I need to lose 10 pounds and get a little faster. But to be honest with you, it was a great experience. You know, I knew the coaches that had just got to Atlanta, Jim Moore and Greg Knapp from San Francisco, from that area where the West Coast system, which was very similar to what we ran in Virginia. About 60-70% of the terminology was very familiar to me. So the ability to learn the system was very easy. But, you know, I really didn't know how it was going to go being down in Atlanta with Mike initially. But, you know, it turned out to be a great experience for me for 3 years. I got a lot of playing time in the preseason, got to develop myself from that aspect. And then various points throughout my career I got to play, you know, when he either got nicked up or things like that, or we had our playoff spot locked up. So it really helped to grow and develop and to watch at the time, you know, one of the most visible athletes in all of the world, how he handles his weekly routine and his daily routine and how I could formulate my own plan when I got an opportunity.
Now, I'm glad you brought up how you played a little bit, because there was a lot of rumors up here in New York that the Jets were extremely interested in you. Did any of those rumors get down to you? Was that even an option that you would have thought further, that you were going to come to New York at all?
You know, I heard there were some rumors about that, you know, especially after my second year in Atlanta. But You know, those were quickly put out by the Falcons staff, and that, you know, they were not, you know, taking any interest or fielding any, you know, offers for me or anything like that. But I mean, it did cross my mind. You know, they were one of the two or three teams that were really really interested, and I had heard about it, so I knew that was out there and a possibility.
Now, if you thought
my fingers were crossed.
Well, listen,
my guy was going to end up in New York. I was hoping my guy was going to end up in New York.
Oh man, but I don't know if you could have pulled for the Jets, Justin. I don't know.
I couldn't have it.
I would have made a crossover for that one. I'm a Houston Texans fan, guys.
He is. Listen, and
we have nothing against the Giants down here. We're just, you know, in a different conference, different division, so you don't have to worry about that.
Now listen, Matt, when you were traded to the Texans, right?
I was.
Justin, okay, now and then you signed with them. What was going through your head when you traded? Were you excited about going down there? You knew you were going to be the face of the franchise. You knew you were going to be the quarterback. Were you excited? Were the Texans a good 50? Were you happy about that?
I was stoked about it. You know, I was out in California when I went down at my agent's golf tournament. Actually, Gary Kubiak, the head coach here, had just finished up his first year with the organization. So I knew the staff. I knew the offense that he was running. I knew the players for the most part and who we had down here to build with. And so I actually, you know, because it was a trade, he came out, Coach Kubiak did, and we got to play around the golf and have lunch and make sure that it was a good fit between the two of us, because the coach and the quarterback go hand in hand. And, you know, we got to be on the same page and have a good relationship and rapport, because, you know, how he goes is how I go and vice versa. So, you know, it was a great fit. It was something that, you know, that we both wanted to do. And so I went back to my agent and said, you know, let's make this happen. And over the next 24 hours after that, you know, we were able to make the deal happen. And I was on a plane to Houston the next day. So I was excited about it, you know, to get to an organization that's up and coming with a ton of talent, you know, with a receiver like Andre Johnson that was here. And Owen Daniels was up and coming after his rookie year at that point. And a lot of talent on the other side of the ball. You know, we were excited about what we could do and the potential that we had as a team to take this organization after the first 5 years of its existence to now after a decade of its existence and get to the second round of the playoffs. You know, we were very excited and very proud of how this thing has evolved.
It's actually amazing what you guys are doing. Now, listen, you play in the Pro Bowl 2009. You win the MVP. Now you're up there with the elite. And I know you're not going to obviously tell me your stats on the air. You're a modest person. But I'm going to tell the audience right now, the man I'm interviewing right now has the same amount or more 400-yard passing games than Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Eli Manning, Brett Favre, Matthew Stafford. And you almost hit 500 when you threw 497. Now, that's what I was going to ask you. Is that the best game you've ever played in your life, the 497-yard game against Philly?
Well, actually, that was against the Redskins.
Okay, I'm sorry.
The last season. But, you know, I don't know if it was the best game I've played, but, you know, it was a lot of fun to be in that game, you know, against the Redskins. Knew a bunch of guys on the other side of the ball. Our offensive coordinator from the previous 2 years, Kyle Shanahan, was working up there. So he had left us and went up there to be their coordinator. And we were down 21 points in that game, or 17, I think, in the third quarter. And to fight back and on 4th and 10, you know, hit Andre for a tying score from 40 yards out. And then the way we won it in overtime, I mean, it was a great game to be a part of. Now, the most exciting or the best game I've played in, I don't know. I don't really think so, maybe not, but it was definitely exciting for sure.
Now, listen, back to the Pro Bowl. You go to the Pro Bowl, you win the MVP in the Pro Bowl. Does it sink in that you're one of the elite players? I know you're not going to say you're one of the elite, I know that, but does it sink in you're in the Pro Bowl, you win the MVP, you put on a clinic in the Pro Bowl? Is it starting to sink in that you're one of the – like, you're the real deal. When does it come in, like, wow, look what I'm doing. Look who I'm playing with and who I'm part of. Is it surreal?
It was awesome. It was very humbling to be a part of that game, be a part of the players and the guys that were involved in that game, to be alongside and spend a week getting to know other guys around the league that you play week in and week out. And, you know, I've always had confidence in my abilities and know what I can do. And to get the opportunity to play in that game was an awesome experience, and one that once you go once, you want to go every year. And so it was exciting to be a part of that, play alongside some of those guys, you know, have some of your teammates down there and be a part of it. It was a lot of fun and a great way to cap off a good season.
Great year. Now, listen, question, do you play fantasy football?
I do not.
Okay, I was going to ask you if you would draft yourself. All right, listen, what goes through your mind this year? This year, what goes through your mind? You go down. Did you know you were out for the year the second it happened when you hurt your foot?
No, I mean, the second it happened, right before the half of that game against Tampa Bay, you know, I just thought it was maybe a little tweak or something like that. So I just went in at halftime, got it, like, retaped up and took a little painkiller and, you know, went back out there to play. You know, I played the second half on it, not really thinking what was going on or what was wrong with it, just, you know, thinking, you know, I'm going to just keep playing, you know, no big deal. And it wasn't until, you know, I knew something was wrong because it kept bothering me all the second half, but until we had the pictures taken the following day, and even when they cut the tape off after the game, the locker room just swelled up like a balloon. So it was pretty gnarly. But you know, until we got the pictures the next day and the doctors got a chance to really look at what was going on in there with the MRI and the X-rays, you know, we knew the type of injury it was, and we wanted to get a second opinion. So I went and got that. Everyone was in consensus that it wasn't looking too good, and it wasn't real good, that we needed to go in and surgically repair it. So that's what we ended up doing.
All right, Matt, what I'm going to do here, I'm going to ask you quick questions and just pop over the answers, okay? Favorite movie?
Dumb and Dumber for a comedy.
Okay.
Other than that,
favorite
I'd say Braveheart.
Okay, favorite food?
Steak.
Three dinner guests?
My wife, Laurie. And then you're only giving me three, so I can't say my other three daughters. So I'm going to go my wife, Laurie. I'm going to say George Washington and Vince Lombardi.
All right. Scariest defensive player that you face when he's against the line, who are you not scared of, but who intimidates you the most on it?
None of them.
I like that. Why do you wear number 8?
My man. That's my man.
Why do I wear 8, you asked?
Yes.
Well, I tried when I left college and I was number 7, I tried to get number 7 for Michael Vick. It was hard to do. The $20 I offered him didn't quite cut it. So I just went for number 8. Didn't really have any rhyme or reason. Just went with 8 and just stuck with it.
Yeah, I remember that because I asked him that too. I was like, "What the hell? Where'd you get 8 from?" And he's like, "Well, I offered Vick $20, and the NFL probably won't let him since he's like the highest selling jersey out there right now." So good choice. He makes it look good.
If he was number 7, if he wasn't number 8, you couldn't be yelling Ocho for the whole football season. So I don't know what you'd be yelling if he wasn't.
I'd be yelling Siete.
All right, Matt, a couple of things. Listen, first of all, I'll be sending you down more shit. I'll send stuff to your daughters. You know the exchange. And you send me up the jerseys. My whole house is just filled with the Schaub jerseys. So I have your address. I'll be sending that to you. I missed the youth group this year. No, that's not creepy.
extremely creepy.
It's not creepy. My house, I'm going to send you pictures of downstairs. They're all framed. Listen, Matt, I have a legitimate question. How are you still friends with Justin Walker? I'm forced upon it. It's kind of my duty now. It's 20 years. You go to school with him. You make it to the NFL. Why are you even still friends with him? I need to know the real answer, for real.
You know, when you go to college with certain people and you go through, you know, when you're 18 years old and you go off to college and you're experiencing the real world for the first time and you go through – you know, anyone that's gone to college knows the type of, I guess, life circumstances that you go through and things that might make you and mold you as a person and as a man and as a human being. And when you go through those stages, as well as on the football field and the stuff that we go through playing collegiate football, you establish a bond with those people and relationships that go far beyond just playing football together. You know, they last a lifetime, regardless of how often you speak or how often you talk. Those things, you know, last forever. And those times, whenever you do get back together, you talk with those guys, you just reminisce and you remember those great times that you had together and how you helped mold each other into who they are today.
Well, Matt, you're such a better friend to Justin than I am. Now I feel bad. Are you still in touch with Ryan Sawyer?
Oh, I am. In fact, we've been playing phone tag. I called him this morning, but he was, I guess, probably selling some real estate or something. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, I was actually making fun of him because Kentucky beat Georgia the other night. All right, Matt, listen to me. Two last questions. I'm going to let you go. I promise you I won't text you for a while now. I promise. No texting, no nothing. Listen, Matt, right now I take your phone, which I'm probably going to next time I come to your house. Who's the coolest person in your phone? When you can go through your phone, you're like, wow, I have this person's phone number. Who's the coolest cat in your phone?
You know, I got to tell you, about a few months ago, I lost my entire phone book when I updated my iPhone to the new software. I lost the whole thing, so it's been a slow process building it back to what I had it. And so, you know, I think the coolest people on my phone, you know, really are probably just teammates, you know, people out there, people listening. You probably just think, like, having Andre Johnson or Arian Foster's number is pretty cool. So, you know, I'd probably just go with them. But other than that, you know, I got Justin Walker's phone number in there, right?
Here's what gets me mad. You ready? I'm going to let you go in a second. I know we're taking up a lot of your time. We interviewed Vidal Hazelton. He just got signed by the Cincinnati Bengals. So now all Justin tells me is like, yeah, Vidal's awesome. So now I want a person to come on the air that Justin helps me get as a guest and just, like, make fun of him. So the first question I asked to Vidal is, like, when did you know you were going to make it? Justin Walker did this. So everyone speaks so highly of him. I feel guilty that I don't really like him this much and everyone loves him this much. I feel like a bad friend right now. Now, I feel bad. All right, Matt, listen. Seriously,
yeah.
Two questions, and this is it. Who's your Super Bowl pick? Not who do you want to win. Who do you think is going to win? Patriots or Giants? Do you? Okay, so do I, and I love the Giants. Okay, now listen. I get made fun of a lot at work because a few weeks ago I'm doing the show. A few friends are over my house. They open up the closet, and they see a fondue set in my house. Now listen to me. Do you and Lori have a fondue set in your house?
Yes. Have we ever used it? No.
Shit, that's horrible.
He's still married. He's married. It was maybe he's married. Him and his wife can have a fondue date. That's cool. What's your excuse?
All right. Listen, you know what? Justin, say goodbye to your friend.
Always a pleasure. Ocho, we'll be in touch, bro. Thanks so much for coming on to the Good Luck.
Matt, really, thank you a lot. Thank you for coming on the show. I'm going to tweet you now the link. Just retweet it so we get a lot of listeners. I promise I'll be on 1 month suspension. I will not text you for 1 month, and I won't send you anything for 1 month. Matt, thank you so much for calling, bro. Be good, and have good luck with rehab and everything, all right?
All right, take it easy, guys.
Thanks, Matt. The great Matt Schaub. I actually feel bad, Just. We told him we're only going to keep him for a few minutes. Obviously, I'm going to keep rambling on to get him for 27 minutes. You know what? Now, here's the difference, Just, between Schaub and Canty, okay? Canty comes to my house. We have a good time. He was down on me. He actually called me up a few times to hang out. I deaded him a few times. He's like, oh, I can't do radio interviews. I wake up, he's on Stephen A. Smith. He's on Michael Kay. He's on Beningo. He's on Boomer and Cotton. Schaub, I text the guy once, he comes right on the show. That's a friend. Chris Canty's address is being given out next show. I'm just telling you now. We have a lot of callers. we have a lot of calls calling in. Before we put any calls on, do you want to tell your story quickly before we get into the Giants breakdown? Do you want to tell the Armani story? Because we have LB on the phone. We have the beautiful Barbara on the phone. Do you want to say what you're going to do to your poor dog?
How many listeners we got?
247.
Wow, that's definitely a high for us, right?
Yeah, wait till Schaub fucking retweets it. I'm sorry, I forgot to ask Schaub if you're the laziest player. You know what? I'll text him later. All right, go, Jess.
Oh my God, I'm glad you. I don't recall that question being on the question sheet.
He's the laziest player you've ever seen. Okay.
So it's not that I'm doing anything to my dog. You know, I get upset. He's not feeling well. He's not behaving like himself. He's almost 8. So, you know, I'm a pretty crazy guy. So when he gets me upset, I think of crazy things to do. So, yes, you know, he's sick. He's going to the bathroom in the house and stuff and, like, just doing a lot of bad stuff. But he's not feeling well. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. I don't hate him. I don't do anything bad. But I do get upset. And I'm like, I'm going to drop him off. I'm going to pay some kid from my neighborhood $5 to drop him off at PetSmart. I'm going to drive him to the dog park and just leave him there. I think of really mean stuff to do. Then I call Snuff, and I call my buddy Zach and my mom, and they're like, oh, he's so nice, blah, 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 and they do the cutie voice and stuff and make me feel bad because we've only spent 8 years together,
and
I just want to strangle him sometimes.
All right, listen to me. Let's get on the phone right now, Just. You ready for this? She has no theme song. You ready? Let me put her on. Is this the lovely Barbara?
Yes, sir, it is. Why don't I have a theme song? I need one.
Barbara, I swear on anything. I was trying to load up a theme song. I don't know any songs. Barbara, you know that, babe.
Who's Barbara? Who's Barbara?
Hey, I miss you, babe.
Beautiful Barbara. All right, here we go, Barbara. I'll get a little song for you. Ready, Bob? Here we go. Hold on.
You're beautiful.
How's that for you, B?
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm so happy you called the show.
Like,
now, Barbara, listen.
Pop, lock, and drop it. Pop, lock, and drop it.
Well, no, Justin. We have people listening. All right, Barbara, listen. We're not one thing I promise, my ADD is not kicking in. We're going to talk to Barbara for a minute. We're going to get right to the Giants. Barbara, are you ready? Justin and I have housing. That was going to be breaking news. We have housing in Indianapolis. This lovely family. No, Barbara, listen to this. You want to hear Creep Style? We have this caller who calls the show. His name's Elwood. He's been calling since day one. He's a good guy. He calls up. He's very knowledgeable. He's like our Indianapolis correspondent. He calls up about the Pacers and the Colts. He's actually a good guy. He told me a few weeks ago. What happened?
No, I just said that's the best.
Yeah, so he's awesome. He calls up. He tells me, you can crash in my house. You can do this. So I'm stoked. We have a place to stay for the Super Bowl. This is tremendous. This is out of this world. The Giants win. I saw texting him. I'm tweeting him, Facebook. He's bailing on me. So now we don't have anywhere to stay. So you know Justin, but you know he loves the one website, Craigslist. But he actually used it for the first time ever today for a good cause. And we're actually going to be staying with a family. They're giving Justin and I a room because we're going to the Super Bowl. They're giving us a room, like it's like a small kid room, but Justin and I are going to be sharing a room like 15 minutes to the stadium. Now, Barbara, where are you staying?
Actually, I don't know yet. I know I have a hotel. I haven't got the information for it yet, though. I know that's real bougie, but I'm not sure.
Let me explain, Barbara. I won't say what you do. I won't say your job on the air. You're the most bougie person ever. Barbara and I go get tattoos. Justin, you ever hear the story? Barbara and I get nice tattoos together. We're sitting down. We go to McGinn's. We're having some food. Her phone beeps. She's like, I got to go. I said, Barbara, where are you going? Vegas. I said, what? She's like, the NBA All-Star Game's in Vegas. I just got invited. She's so bougie. I don't know how she hangs out with us. She's too cool for us.
I'm still not too cool.
Barbara, you're like the coolest chick we know. So listen, are we hanging out in Indianapolis?
Yes, of course we are. I better see both of y'all faces.
What happened?
I said I better see both of y'all faces there, or it's going to be a problem. If I can't see you in New York, I better at least see you in Indianapolis.
Okay, Barbara, give your Twitter name out so you get some followers. We have like 300 listeners. Give your Twitter name out.
It's B_beach, just like the water.
Okay, beautiful. So now I can say what she does. So Barbara's a Washington Redskins cheerleader. Because when you go to her page, you can see it. If you get more listeners than me. Barbara, will the cheerleaders be in attendance in Indianapolis?
There will be 3 also, along with myself.
Will Jamila be there?
Jamila will be there. It's going to be myself, Jamila, Brittany, and Ashley.
Justin. All right, so basically I'm not going to see Justin once this whole trip. That's all I had to say.
Not at all. Justin and Ashley will be there, so that's wifey number 3.
I've been hearing about baby Ash for the longest time. All right, Barbara, listen, we're getting off topic. I'm not letting my ADD kick in. You still never came through with the basketball jersey I asked you for, Barbara. We'll discuss that in Indianapolis. What day are you flying out there?
When? Morning. Friday morning. I'm flying out, 6:30 a.m.
All right, we're driving out there. We'll keep in touch. We're going to drive out there together, and Justin's let me take over the radio, so it's pretty cool.
Wow,
that's
impressive.
That's not going to happen. He only knows like 6 songs. Why would I let him take over the radio? Hey, we'll be listening to Michael Kay and one of those, you know, Whipping Out Wednesday dudes or whatever that show was.
Hey, Square, listen, like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, Justin and I do a road trip to Canada. 10 hours, 12 hours, 13 hours. I brought one CD. We listened to the same CD.
It probably only have like 3 songs on it.
It had like a Nirvana Unplugged song. He was so furious because we didn't know any station. All right, Squirrel, thank you for calling the radio show. I will see you in Indianapolis. And tell Jamila I said hi. She follows me now on Twitter, so she's the real deal.
Yes, she does. Are you going to ask me my pick for the Super Bowl? Because I didn't get asked who my pick was.
Barbara, because you kind of know more sports than any guy in the world. And I actually threw that on Facebook and stuff. You know more sports than anyone in the game. Okay, Barbara, who's your Super Bowl pick?
I'm going with the Giants, obviously.
Square, I miss you so much, buddy.
Miss you too, Steffi.
See you later, babe.
Bye, baby.
Look at Barbara calling it, Barbara Beach calling it to the show. All right, Josh, you know I hate putting this guy on the show. We have to give him props.
Hold on. I need to give out my long-ass Twitter name first.
Give it out.
Follow me on Twitter, Twitch is @ KINGJUSNYC99 @ KINGJUSNYC99
Oh my god.
Okay, now we can talk to the angry bastard.
Oh my God! All right, let's first of all, I actually have a clip lined up. This was LB's ringtone. Before I put him on the phone, the man can't tell the difference between a transsexual and a female at a bar, and that's the truth. We can attest to that. Yet the man goes 9-1 in his playoff picks. He comes over to my house, Just. He's like, "Hey, call my phone. I have this new song. I've never heard it before. So here's the song, Just, that LB played before we put him on the air." He's so pathetic. Listen to it. Justin, he played the Jackson 5, "I'm Going Back to Indiana." Ah, let's get him on the phone. What up, LB?
What's wrong with that song?
You got a problem
with the Jackson 5?
I don't, sir, but listen. I want to
keep
problem.
He even knows who they are. He doesn't even know who they are. LB, 9-1,
yes,
in your playoff picks. Well done, sir.
That's what I'm all about. All I do is win.
You're right, and I said this. You didn't bring her home, but you engaged in activity with a person who was not a female at a bar. You couldn't tell the difference between that, but yet you can go 9-1 in the playoffs, and yet you don't bet, and you're going to Vegas for the Super Bowl.
Yes. Wait. Let's get back to who's the girl in the ball or the thing in the bar.
Listen. I'm not going to drop it. Listen. You tell me the Giants are 7-7. They must win Christmas Eve versus the Jets. They do that. They go that Sunday night showdown against the Cowgirls. They beat them. Again, you called it. First round, they play the Falcons. They win it. Okay, then we're going back-to-back underdogs. We go to Lambeau, and we smack around the Packers. We smack Aaron Rodgers.
Correct.
We win that game. Then they go to Justin's dream city, where he wants to live, San Francisco. Again, they're underdogs. Again, you pick them. Again, you're right. You were 5-0 in the last games, and you're not a homer. One thing you're not doing, you don't
get
to pick the Giants.
I was going to say, it would be easy to just say, "Oh, he's a homer picking his team to win every game," but 9-1 in the playoffs, pretty impressive.
LB, what game did you lose?
Nice. I had the Saints beat in the 49ers.
That was the only game you lost. I was very impressed with what you picked up. Yeah, I was impressed with what you picked. Listen to me.
So next time you wanna bet, you should call me instead of losing your money on betting against the Giants. Never bet against your team, pal.
I know you can tell everybody.
Oh, first of all, now I have you two on the phone. He only bets against his team, so because he's so crazy, he bets against his team. So if his team loses the game, he still wins money.
He'll
so
win.
He has a little bit to feel good about. Or if he loses the money, he's upset. He wants a little money, but he's glad that his team won. He's such a mush. But now that I have you two on the phone, I just want all our listeners to know these two guys, huge New York fans. Huge Yankees, Giants, whatever, hometown hero fans. But during the game,
at 7:18 p.m.
text messages from both of them. "We effing suck. I effing hate this team. Blah, blah, blah." I'm like, shut the hell up. The game is not even
That's
close.
A real fan.
It's over. No. The game is over. The two worst fans ever presently
Justin,
on the phone.
I'm going to hand the mic over to you and LB in a second when you guys do your little breakdown. You've known me forever. The Yankees, I said, can be up 14-0, ninth inning. I'm always so upset and negative. I wrote this down. At 7:18, I texted Justin, Larry, and Nikki Dasha. And I'm like, it's over. We lost. Justin tells me to shut the F up. Nikki Dasha was drowning away his sorrows in liquor. And I'm going to actually tweet the video. Tynes kicks the field goal. The Dasha house, it looked like the L.A. Riots. Tackling each other, he sent me a video of it. LB is knowledgeable. LB tells me, we're going to lose, but LB is a true diehard fan. He doesn't just say negative. But listen, LB, you and Justin can both tell the listeners what I do, what I've done in the past with every Yankee game, and what I've done to the Giants 49ers, and what I'm going to give LB money for when he goes to Vegas. What do I do with the betting? You can tell the listeners.
You always take the other side, which is it's terrible.
And then we get Justin mad at me. He actually takes it out on me. He's like, "Listen, mother effer, keep betting against our team. Let's relax." I did lose money because the Giants won. But if they lost, I would have been heartbroken, suicide watch, but I would have been happy because I would have been up some money. So I give LB money. LB's going to go to Las Vegas. You know he's going to spend it. You know LB's not putting the bet down. We all know what LB's going to do in Las Vegas with that money.
That's right.
That's about it. He's going to turn it into singles.
Take a rain. Pay someone's rent.
No one pays more rent. Listen to me. Let's tell that Houston story. Josh, we go to Houston 2 years ago, Giants, Texans.
Houston trip that Snuff actually didn't play out on.
Yeah.
I'm not telling this story. Hold on. LB and I are going to break down the Super Bowl and the Giants game.
Yeah, because we're not going to do 2 weeks on every game. So just go ahead, do your little breakdown. You guys take over the show right now.
So I think if we go back, the biggest thing that I said about the 49er game was turnovers, and that the Saints had 6 turnovers and lost by 4 points. And we didn't have any, and they had 2, and we won the game. Thank you. That's
right.
All I need to say.
And my biggest thing was, I said it 10 times last week, you cannot let Vernon Davis run free. The 2 times that they didn't jam him or bump him coming off the line, one was a blown coverage because Webster was Kenny Phillips was trailing him, and Antoine Roe just got beat down the sidelines on the wheel route. Both same plays, the 2 touchdowns almost beat us.
And Justin, that's a text message I get. I get the text message. Before the game, LB texted me. It's like, we got this game. This game's ours unless Vernon Davis puts on a show. So I'm like, okay, I'm aware of that. LB knows knows more about than me, more technical. Vernon Davis almost single-handedly beat us.
And the Giants are going to face the same problem against the Pats because they have 2 beast mode tight ends. They're not going to be able to run the ball, even though they've been running the ball pretty well in the playoffs. They did rush for over 100 yards against us last time. But that's not going to be the key to the game. Key to the game, once again, is obviously going to be turnovers. Because when you get down to this point in time, like Super Bowl and NFC-AFC championships, everybody's good. Everybody's playing good football. So whoever has more possessions is going to win the game, especially the turnover where you get the ball on a 10-yard line, things like that. So obviously, Tom Brady, we need a couple picks, and we need to limit Gronk and Hernandez. We're going to be able to run the ball. The big 3, Hakeem Nicks, Manningham, and my favorite, Victor Cruz, are going to do work, and hopefully we can hold them off.
If the Giants can run the ball, which I think they're going to be able to because they're not playing against the 49ers again, if you could run the ball, Manningham should have a huge game. Because like you said, they're going to double up on the other 2. Super Mario should have a huge game. Hopefully Jacobs, can actually run north and south and, you know, run people over instead of running, you know, to the sidelines and forming.
Listen, 2 things.
Definitely going to need a big game for Mario because they will be doubling.
Well, I'm glad you brought Manningham. When Eli threw that touchdown pass to him, and Eli doesn't show motion. When Eli's pumping his fist, who wasn't just going crazy? Now, listen, we have a caller. This is my boy Richie. Well, he's Chuck's boy Richie. LB, he's on your level of psycho Giant fan. I'm putting him on the phone. He's been on hold for a while, the whole shop interview. Richie, you're on the Good Life Radio with Mike, Justin, and LB. Rich, congratulations. Can you take a breath now? The Giants are in the Super Bowl. What up, Rich?
Let's go, baby. Let's go. How does Chuck feel now? I can't believe it. 5 weeks ago before the Jet game, he did say we were going to win, but he did not think we were going to go this far and make it this far. I believed the whole way that we were going to do this, and I'm so happy that we're back here again. And if Eli Manning does beat Tom Brady for the 2nd time in the Super Bowl, you have to, and I mean you have to, put him up there as guaranteed, cemented as an elite quarterback, but maybe, just maybe, if he has another 5 or 6 quality seasons of how he had this year, one of the best ever, if he beats the best Super Bowl quarterback of our generation, of maybe of all time.
Now, Rich, listen, Rich, nice. Take a breath. Let me tell LB, Justin.
I'm jacked up.
I know you are. Listen, LB, so
the
day of the NFC Championship game, you know, I go on Facebook, it's like 3 in the morning. Rich can't sleep. He's like, just say 16 hours till game time. This man woke up every hour. He couldn't sleep, LB, because of the game. He's been posting, and now Rich deals with a lot of Jet fans. All anti-Jet stuff. Just, LB, he's on my level with the Yankees, yours with the Giants. He's just out of control. Now, Rich, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a huge football breakdown show either beginning of next week or late this week. Early on, tell me the keys to the game and who do you think is going to win for real.
You want right now? You want me to?
Yeah, just do a quick for us, and then we'll do a real breakdown.
Okay,
show. I want
the keys to the game once again, as LB said. Turnovers, big part of the game. I think whoever has the most turnovers is going to lose. And listen, if Eli could just continue to play how he's playing, these last five games we're averaging 28.2 points per game. We're letting up 13.6 a game, which is less than two touchdowns. All right? So if we do that, if we continue what we're doing, we're the hottest team in the NFL right now, and I think these last five games have been more impressive than the four that we've seen 4 years ago in 2007. I think this one is just a little bit more impressive. I think we were more shocked last time. This time, I think we just get that feeling now. Like when we get into that rhythm, that something's just going to go our way and something's going to happen. And we should have only given up. We should have given up 6 points in Green Bay. That game was close. They're lucky it was that close. Those two, they scored two touchdowns on calls that benefited, that went their way. The OCU maneuver roughing the passer and the Greg Jennings fumble, which the referee, who was it? I forget who the ref was. It was Ed Hockley. No, it wasn't Ed Hockley. I forget who it was. But
he had to be the only person
in America who thought that Greg Jennings' knee was on the ground. Honestly.
He did. Now, listen, Rich, we're gonna do a little paternal stuff now. I'm gonna hang up on you. Keep listening, and I'll text you, and we'll do. I want you in studio for your next breakdown.
Yeah,
all right, Rich?
Yeah. I'll definitely listen before the Super Bowl. I gotta be on here one more time. I definitely appreciate you sending me the instant message on Facebook and telling me to
always
be a part of today's
Rich,
show.
Rich, I love when you're on the show,
Rich. I couldn't wait to talk to you again. And I want Chuck to be a co-host again.
He
I
is.
Want
let's
to
listen.
Talk to Chuck soon. Please,
right,
have him as a co-host soon.
All right, we're going to let Rich go. Rich is beyond passion. You know what? Listen to me. Thank you again, Rich. Just LB, that was 3-4 days worth of pumped up. We were going to do a show on Monday. He's texting. He's out of control. He didn't take a breath. He's probably
Wait.
Just had a heart attack. Okay, listen.
Did Chuck get thrown off the show?
No. Here's the deal with Chuck. I love Chuck. You know that. Chuck has a weird sleeping pattern. Chuck sometimes will stay up for around 2 or 3 days in a row. That's not a joke. Chuck will just say, for example, his new show is Monk. He'll watch that show. Just say it has 10 seasons. He'll stay up for 10 seasons. Like, and that's not a joke. He stays up sometimes for 40 hours straight watching TV. So it's hard to get Chuck on a schedule. He starts school next week. So when Chuck starts school again, we'll get back to more of a routine. All right, listen, LB, I want to hear your opinion on a couple of things. I love your opinion. You have a little, you know, a guy who's a big fan of your opinion. So I'm going to give you a topic, and just give me a minute on each topic. Is that cool, LB?
Who's a big fan of my opinion?
You know, the guy from Orlando who loved the fact that you're very pro-America. All right, LB.
That's right.
Joe Paterno passes away. What do you have to just you too, Joe? I want to hear your opinion. You're more of a level-headed guy.
Let me hear it. What do you want? What do you want to know?
Well, Joe Paterno, you always respected the man after everything happened with
Sandusky. I still do. He's
okay.
Getting a bad rap for all these half these people that post on Facebook and Twitter. He followed procedure. Unfortunately, the people that he said it to really, you know, the guy was investigated by the police. His statement to the police is, I won't take showers with children anymore. So once it's at, you know, Joe did what he had to do. Unfortunately, because he's the big name there, he's going to get the one that, you know, got screwed. And you know what? He got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
People that hate Joe Paterno, relax, calm down.
Yeah, I definitely think that. I think Penn State and the Board of Trustees and all the decision makers over there killed that old man. It's a terrible situation. What he did for college football, and especially that state and that college, will never be done again. And a month later, after, you know, 2 months later, after all this, he passes away, they killed him.
Yeah, you know what? I was a little disappointed in myself. Schaub grew up in Pennsylvania. I know he was actually a Penn State fan growing up. I should have asked him about Paterno, and I would have asked him if he ever went to Sandusky's camps. LB, did the Yankees retire Posada's number?
I don't think they do. I mean, it does have great numbers. I'm a little biased. I'm really not a Posada fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say no, but if they do, they do. If not, they don't. You know, I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
Okay, Justin?
What was the question?
Just whenever you want to wake up and join the show, let me know.
Are you mumble? I'm sorry.
I said Posada. We retire Posada's number or no?
Yes. I think you retire Posada, Gina, and Rivera 1,000%, those three.
So basically there's going to be no more Yankee numbers left. Everybody who plays for the Yankees now? Is that how this works?
I think I said three people, but if that's how you feel, LB, sure.
LB, listen to
Thank
me.
You.
First of all, we have 299 people listening to the show. Not bad.
They have no lives.
Yeah, no, that's what, LB, that's what, we did the Friday night show one time, and it was like 100, 200, like, it's Wednesday, why are you listening to my show? All right, listen, LB, did you hear the plan? Justin and I are probably staying with a family in Indianapolis, but do you know who we're hanging out with Friday night? He's not going to be as fun.
The real number eight?
No, listen. I know he's listening right now. The real number eight is Nick Dasha. The second number eight now.
Nick Dasha, fine, is a number eight, but who was the first number eight?
Oh, listen, you're going to tell me? I was his biggest fan, Mr.
All
Michael
Bush. He's the real number eight.
I agree with that, and he stole the name Heisman 8.
I wouldn't even be involved in this conversation.
Now listen, now let me tell you a funny story. So, LB, so I think Moochie's listening. He was going to call in, but I don't see him on the screen. So I tell Justin and I were having a problem getting hotel rooms. Obviously, it's Indianapolis. We wait till the last second, whatever. We're talking about it. I'm like, listen, Justin, Moochie's going. You know, Moochie at this point, you know, he's not really partying. I'm like, dude, we have a ride. Justin, what do you say? We let Silver Fox Jim pick his BLDD.
Why did you guys fly? Why were you drunk 10 hours?
You know what? I don't know 100% why we're not flying. We're not flying. We're going to drive. It's a good, nice road trip. Just two guys enjoying the scenery. Why wouldn't we drive? The flight, listen, I'll tell you why. Money-wise, you know, I don't like to spend as much money as an average Joe. If we fly to Chicago, it's like, I think, did you say $200 round trip? Then we have to rent a car and still drive another 3.5 hours. I'd rather just drive straight through with Justin, just two guys enjoying the country together.
You taking your Honda Civic?
Yeah, why not? The only reason I don't want to take it is because I drive a Honda to the whole audience, and when you don't put your seatbelt on, it's beep, beep, and it annoys me. It doesn't annoy Justin, but it does, but he knows it gets me more upset. So he'll drive 10.5 hours hearing the beep, beep. And you know the sad thing is, you know he's going to be sleeping the entire time. Like, I'm dreading this already, because I know he's coming up next Thursday. He's probably going to go out Thursday night, randomly stumble to my house at like 3:30 in the morning, and we're leaving at 4. I'm not stupid. I know he's going to drive the whole way there. That he's going to sleep the whole way to Indianapolis. It's going to be... I'm dreading this trip already. I know it.
First of all, you should do about 90 miles an hour because I don't think any of you guys are going to get tickets. Oh, let's talk about that, by the way. So
wait,
you pulled over today. I know how to go about it. So,
you know how to go about it. You're the most unsubtle person in America.
So I just pulled over today by this retarded highway cop.
All right.
Now explain to me why they have to wear these... Looks like they're wearing these Nazi uniforms because they got these high pants on, this ridiculous hat, and these boots. Explain to me why they have to wear that.
I mean, I don't know. I don't do uniforms for the... What state did you get pulled over in?
I got pulled over in New York.
I don't know why they wear... It's not Nazi stuff. It's the uniform, I don't know.
It looks like a World War II Nazi uniform.
Okay.
Anyway, back to story. So I give him my license, and a buddy of mine, one of my cousins.
Credentials.
Yeah. Anyway, so one of them is expired. So the guy goes, well, tell your cousin that you updated
credentials.
So now my idiot cousin has to give me a new one.
Well, listen,
that happened to Kenneth Bang recently, and I was like, guy, it's like 20 days, calm down.
I'll speak to my friend who has credentials. Okay, now, Just, you can tell everyone, because I don't know how to pronounce his last name. We're going to finish up the show now. Again, listen, we do get feedback after the show. The last two shows have been only about sports. We actually tune in next time, because we're actually interviewing. Just, let me know if I'm pronouncing his name right. He's on the Detroit Lions. Isaiah Say his last name.
Akajuba.
Akajuba. All right.
Yeah.
That's what.
Yeah. Neither you idiots know how to pronounce it because this is going to be a great interview next week.
No. I think I'm going to do the interview Friday. I'm babysitting Jessica, so maybe Saturday. I'm just going to call him Isaiah. Isaiah Azabu. All right. I'll be practicing this whole week. Do you want to hear bad news? We actually have bad news with a friend of the show, Daniel Orton, Orlando Magic center. The Magic didn't pick up his contract. So he's playing out the rest of the year without a contract.
And he's going to the D League?
Yeah, no, because he's not on. After this year, the Magic will release him. He's on the team for the rest of the year. They own $1.6 million. He'd get that. So he got $3.2 million. And that's it. And that was he's an unrestricted free agent. I was texting him last night nonstop till finally he wrote back. And he was saying, like, he's either going to go to Europe to play. I'm like, oh, I'll visit you. I didn't get a response. Or he's going to look for a team just to pick him up. So we'll see what goes on with the friend of the show, Daniel Orton. All right, listen, we're going to cut the show short. I have to go to my mom's house. It was my dad's birthday yesterday. Oh, Justin, do you want to tell the listening audience? Oh, thank you. It wasn't me. It was my dad. Justin, do you want to tell the listening audience the only thing you don't like about my dad? You can tell the listening audience.
Happy birthday, Kev. Great father, great husband. Worked two jobs to support the hosted show for 40 years.
The only
thing I like about you is that you sleep in the bed with Flo.
So I write on Facebook, like, you know, Dad, thank you so much. Being a great father, hopefully one day I can be, hopefully I'm not a father right now, but hopefully one day I can be one-tenth of the father. You know, everyone like this. Natalie Brandefine, happy birthday, Papa Safo. What's up, Natalie? And all this stuff. And then Justin writes, the only thing I don't like about Kev is that he sleeps with Flo. But he put whoops at the end, so you know everything was okay. Hey, LB, last thing, LB. Yeah.
Another thing, real fast. Since I leave for Vegas on Tuesday, am I picking up money to put down on the New England Patriots?
You are. That's what I was actually going to finish the show with. We have
okay. Also,
3 minutes left.
I hope. Listen, I hope you speak to your friend with the credentials because that won't be placed.
That's fine. Well, I'll say no. Yeah.
I will be checking in from Vegas. If you guys want to have a show, I'll report from Vegas to let you know how it's all going. How many people's rent people paid that weekend?
Well, listen,
a whole lot of rent getting paid that week, baby.
Well, listen, here's what I was going to tell you, LB. I was going to say I'm working tomorrow till 2, and then I'm off all tomorrow night. If you want to do, I'm being honest with you too, because I have to go. If you want to do the thing I've been promising you we'll do, we can go do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Seven to 10. I'll give you credentials. We'll do that. Friday, I'm babysitting my little cousin. But LB, here's what we're going to do.
Didn't we win the bet? First of all, I'm not buying the.
Listen, I was going to tell everybody, that's how I was going to end the show. Thanks, spoiler alert. The bet is way over. The bet's been lost. I'm a beaten man. We're not going to save the show. We have way too many listeners. And I know Shab is going to retweet this, so we're probably going to have probably around 500 to 1,000 people listen to this episode. So we're not going to say what the bet was. We will say what the bet was next show. I promise you. That'll be the cliffhanger. That's
oh, nice.
Cliffhanger.
So I get cha-ching.
Yes, you get money for Reagan. I lost that bet. Listen, and
also
I
real fast, I didn't get to thank Shab. So if you know whoever listens, Shab's the man. He put me up in his private booth for the Houston Jacksonville game. He's the best. His family's great, and I want to thank them again.
The Shab class act. He's a class person. He spoke very highly of Justin, which I guess is cool. We're gonna do. Obviously, we'll do one more show before you go to Vegas, but we'll coordinate a show where we'll go out in Indy. We'll probably be home early, and you'll be out in Vegas. You call us up. I want to call while you're paying rent. That is the ultimate radio call in the history of world. LB, just say goodbyes.
Thank you, everybody. Let's go Giants, and I'll talk to you in Vegas.
LB, I want FaceTime. I want FaceTime while rent's being paid.
Okay.
I don't pay rent, homie.
All right, we're hanging up on LB. For him to say he doesn't pay rent, look, I'm going to be honest with you. LB pays more rent than it. Girls go to college. They go to Harvard on LB's. On LB's salary, rent money. Justin, we have 40 seconds left. I want to thank you again from the bottom of my heart. You're my best friend. Thank you again for co-hosting the show. Thank you for letting me steal Matt Schaub's phone number from you. Thank you for co-hosting. Say goodbyes, big guy.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, everybody, for listening. At KINGJUS, at KINGJUS, NYC99. Follow me on Twitter. Peace.
Follow him on Twitter. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We had almost... Well, I you know what? I don't know if we hit 300. Like I said, the bottom right-hand corner, the numbers go up and down with the listeners. Matt's going to retweet the show. We are going to have Chris Canty on the show, or we're going to have Chris Canty's brother on next show. We're going to end with a Lawrence Tynes kick. This is The Good Life. I'm going to play the clip of the kick. Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Low snap. The kick is good. And the Giants are going back to the Super Bowl.